Good morning, folks. This is Vince, the Evil Dungeon Master, the Evil DM, back with another episode of the Evil DM, well, the Evil Dungeon Master Universe podcast, where I talk about stuff that I want to talk about. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about dungeon design and dungeons, whatever. Generally, when I design a dungeon, I like to keep it at 12 rooms or under, unless I'm doing a mega dungeon, and then you want to make it multiple floors. And when you make it multiple floors, then you have something to worry about. But generally, dungeon you're going to keep under 12 rooms, so you don't get dungeon fatigue, or the group doesn't get dungeon fatigue. Personally, I know when I'm playing a role-playing game, I don't want to sit in a constant fighting zone of dungeons. I like to role play. I like to investigate. I like to discover, and just having a session where you're just running around a dungeon and killing stuff is just boring to me. But there are players out there that really enjoy that, so you have to cater to everybody in your group, not just one person. While the GM or the DM has to have fun when they're playing their game, so do the players. Remember, you're not a selfish person. You're trying to play a game to host people, and you like to be a person. You want to be a person that wants to cater to everybody. There's a lot of really good sites out there to help you design a dungeon. And dungeons don't actually have to just be for Dungeons and Dragons. It can be for superhero games. It can be for sci-fi games like Shadowrun or something. Shadowrun, it'd be just more of an abandoned building area with multiple rooms in it. Because, they have to explore a warehouse to find something. But the things I like to do is to make things a little bit more random. I like to grab a bunch of charts and put them together so that each room has a description and a general theme to it. And I like to make it random. So I'll do a 1d20 chart. So when I'm designing my dungeon, I could just roll on my chart that I've designed up and see if it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, obviously don't put it. But that's one thing I like to do. I like to get a description of the room so it's something the players can, think about, imagine in their mind, imagine they're standing in that room. And then also, if there's a monster in there, I mean, maybe a 1 in 6 chance, I'll do it that way, that there's a monster in there. And sometimes I'll have the monster hidden, or sometimes I'll have the monster just right there in the middle of the room. It really depends on what type of feel I'm going for in the dungeon. Once I decide, the room theme, then I'm going to decide if there's going to be any secret doors, and I'll roll a d6 again for that, and a 1 in 6 chance that there'll be a secret door or a secret compartment of something in it, and then I'll decide if it's going to be a treasure or a key or something that's going to give them a piece of the clue of what's going on in this dungeon entirely. I find it interesting just to give little clues. Sometimes the best room that you can design is an empty room with a coin in the middle of it. I remember I did that one time for one of my games. It wasn't a coin, but it was just an empty room. In the middle of the room, there was just like a glass bottle, and it had a kind of like paper on top of it, as if it was holding something in it. And I figured my group would go in and they'd probably just look at it and walk away or smash it or maybe even take it and just be at the end of it. And that's not what they did. They spent 20 minutes debating on what to do with this room. Should they go into it? What's on the stand that's holding this glass bottle? What's on the paper? Can I see it from here? What's on the floor? What's on the glass? What's on this? What? And I answered all these questions because these are valid questions to answer. And, but it was funny that the smallest thing could become the biggest thing. Like one time, as a joke, I made one of the rooms. There was a disco ball. There was a guy dancing, and then there was a what do you call those food trucks. Kind of like a food stand there, and there was a guy making fresh food, and they were very confused by why this was in the middle of the dungeon. And I made up some excuse about some guy who was who was setting up shop in dungeons and making a business out of it because he wanted to feed hungry adventurers and make sure that they would always have food and have a place to dance and rest. So he basically went in, cleared out his area, and made sure no monsters would come in the area and keep it clean and safe as if it was like a safe zone. And people always found that hysterical. And I don't know, I just like putting goofy things inside my adventures because I don't want to be serious. Gaming is a way to escape life, have fun. Gaming is escapism. That's all it is. And nothing should be forced into a game. And nothing should be, pushed into a game that is real life. No one wants to sit through that shit. Everybody wants to play an imaginary character of their better self or something that they want to play as a persona that would be an adventurer in Dungeons and Dragons or Palladium Fantasy or, I don't know, some other game that you're playing. I think there was a one for, Champions had one too. I can't remember the name of it, but those are the games that I play, so offhand, that's it. Like when you're playing Rifts, you want to be the best soldier or best adventurer in Rifts being. You don't want to be, hindered in any way because that doesn't mean it's not fun. You don't want to be poor in a game. That's not fun. You want to be rich. You want to have, prestige and status. But anyway, back to the dungeon. After I do that, I generally try to pick where the puzzles will be and try to go searching around on the internet and trying to find puzzles. Not like difficult puzzles, but things that they can pretty much figure out on their own. Not, maybe with a little bit of rolling, a little bit of research. It shouldn't be something that's too difficult for them to figure out. If it is too difficult and your group's going to sit there like, and not a lot of groups like puzzles, but you should make it easy enough that they can do it. And if they are stuck, maybe you have them do a couple search rolls and then they find a clue that's hidden in the wall or on a painting or in a desk. And, see if that will help them out. Sometimes you can give, like, if there is a wizard with a high intelligence in the party, you can have him roll under his attribute for intelligence, and maybe you can give him a clue, like, you take this piece and move this piece here, and it looks like that might actually move something. Things like that. I know also when building a dungeon, the longer you play or the later you play than you normally play will always give you troubles. I noticed that when we were playing like 10 to 12 hours a day, which we used to do here at my house before COVID hit, and now we play online for only a couple hours. But when we played here at my house, we would meet up at 12:30 and we would play until like 8, 9 o'clock every Saturday. And it was a thing that everybody did. They planned their week around it, and we joined here, and it was 10 of us here crammed in the room. And the later we got to playing, I mean, we took breaks, obviously. Everybody takes breaks. Take a break for lunch, take a break for dinner, take an hour here or there if you need to, just to, unwind, think about things. Sometimes there's a good po stopping point, to leave everybody on a cliffhanger and walk away for a little while just to, soak it in and figure things out. But after, what I was saying, the longer you play, the less people seem to, get into things. So, yeah. After that, generally, I like to figure out the big bad of the dungeon and where to put him. And I try to put him in a way that they can't get to him right away or get to it right away. I want them to work up to it. So, and I know a lot of people have problems with this, that they'll put the big bad in a certain room and the players will go right for it and it ruins the whole entire evening. Who cares? Just move him. Just move the room. If they go right for the big bad room and you see that's supposed to be the pinnacle, the end, the big climax, move him to another room across the dungeon. No big deal. I've done that many a times. Just rework the room, swap the room with something else. Make a note to yourself on your paper or your computer when you're playing that you just swapped it around. No big deal. But Yeah, I try to figure out who the big bad is, why he's there, and what he's guarding. And generally, after you defeat the big bad or the big theme of the dungeon, there is going to be the reward room, the treasure room, the thing that they're there for. And for that, I like to actually pull out an old book from back in the D&D 3E era, called Diablo II Diablerie. It has such good random magic items that you can roll. There is tons and tons and tons of tables here to give you inspiration. Just randomly rolling. And I'm flipping through the book right now as I'm talking to you, and it's at least, I don't know, about 10, 15, I would say about 10 or 15 pages worth of just descriptions of magic items and bonuses that you can add to magical items, from wands, swords, armor, rings, potions, different colors, different textures. It's a good book. Actually, the Diablo series of D&D 3E books, and I think there was one for Advanced Dungeons and Dragons 2 at the time, second edition, was actually excellent for if you just want the dungeon crawl for the evening. You could play the four classes, five classes that are from Diablo, sit down and just dungeon crawl through the whole entire thing. You really didn't even need a DM. It was solo RPG before it was solo RPG. You could probably play without a GM, just you and your buddies, and randomly someone will move for the monsters, take turns doing it so it's not the same person over and over again, but it's a fun time. So I would stack that room with some treasures, depending on your world. Maybe your world doesn't have a lot of magical items, like Palladium Fantasy. When I play that, that is a low magic world as far as magical stuff is concerned. So you're not going to find your typical, Holy Avenger and Vorpal swords in there, because those things don't exist. You may find your potions and you find your gold and your silver and things like that, but you're not going to find things that you normally find in Dungeons and Dragons. And that's why another reason why I like Palladium Fantasy is because low magic. I don't have to worry about giving magical items out too often. I give magical items out because I want to see the group advance. I want to see them get more powerful and move up, and that's a way to do it. But that's it. And once they finally reach that pinnacle room of treasure, then they can go back and go to maybe there's a quest giver or something, or they find another piece to the puzzle that will move them to the next place to go. And that's basically a good way to design dungeons. And I think 12 rooms is a good place to sit. I know some people say the 5 rooms, 6 rooms. No, I go with 12 because it gives a little variety that you could plan some rooms that people maybe who are held captive, rooms where they could find supplies, rooms that they could find little items and things like clues. Rooms filled with monsters, secret hidden rooms, things like that. But again, you have to know your group. If your group likes to go hack and slash, put a lot of monsters in there. If your group likes to explore, investigate, find items, and kind of attack and kill things, then by all means do that. Well, all right. This has been long enough today of me babbling, talking about dungeons, but dungeon design is a lot of fun. And playing in it sometimes can be fun. It just really depends on your style and your group. So with that said, I'm going to head out. You can always email me at askthedm at theevildm.com. That's my email address. Come here to, I keep saying Anchor, Spotify for my podcast, and you can leave a voice message. You can also go to ko-fi.com or ko-fi.com / theevildm and leave a donation if you want to help support my cause. With that said, I'm going to head out. Keep it original, keep it old school. Good night, and God bless everybody.